for midnight up to, New Year's Eve was a special thing. I thought I was like a grown up to yell Happy New Year. Now, I don't care. I just want to go to sleep. My favorite place in the house, my bed. But a few days ago, my wife said, husband, you shall have a service for the New Year's Eve. And then our elder Jack said, the pastor will teach. So I said, here I am. So if you don't like what we're doing, blame those two. As we look back, year 2004 has been a great year for our church, and I'm sure some of you agree with your family too. A lot of things happened. I didn't say that everything was hunky-dory. There's a few spots I'd like to remove from that year 2004. However, God allowed it to happen. Nothing passed God without Him knowing. He had to say approved stamp on it. Otherwise, we don't go through this, the trials and tests that we are going through. Let's go over a few things that it happened in our church. Our church congregation grew. Agreed? Many people got saved and they rededicated their lives. As a matter of fact, one we have here, Glenna, is received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior last week, right? Since I don't have anything better to do during, and I know some of you guys believe that I only work 2 days a week. If you do, let me give you my schedule when I have time. Since you guys think that I don't have anything better to do, somehow the Lord sent me a group of nice people from the Rio Rico Tubac area. And those people came up and asked for the Bible study down there. So we started on Wednesday night. And the ladies' Bible study started, and it's going very well. Our mission ministry is, missions ministry is doing an excellent job under the direction of Barry Smith, and we expand ourselves to the Nogales, Mexico. Many of you went down there and helped the people. And we are supporting the new creation drug rehabilitation center in Nogales, Mexico. And I had a wonderful opportunity to go to the Schumann, Bulgaria, and now we are supporting Blagovesta Schumann and the Truth and Hope Foundation in Bulgaria. Our radio program, 1 Minute of Truth, some of you guys listen to that time to time. And during the Mike Savage time on 790 KNST, at the beginning we had a lot of objection within our fellowship for that thing. Some of the people said, well, it's throwing money away because we don't get a benefit. And as I felt that God is telling me to stay on it. So I stayed on it with all the objection. Now, I walk into the Walgreens and somebody recognized my broken English, I guess. And they said, you are the guy on that radio program. And non-believers are listening. 18,000 people, that is. And they cannot say that they are not hearing the gospel message. And we have a new worship team under the direction of Mark Trudeau. We have a new worship team with the dynamics and harmony, brand new one, and it's wonderful. And we also have a new youth ministry director. There is Matt and Corinna Hauser and Ben Poole helping them. They are a great asset to our fellowship. Yes. And to our surprise, Operation Christmas Child in ministry, you guys know that, is a worldwide ministry. And they decided to use our church as a drop zone. Is that what you drop center? Drop relay center in this region, south side of Tucson. That's pretty good, I think. And we started a police chaplain program for the Pima County Sheriff Department with the help of we're working with Calvary Tucson, 10 chaplains, and Elder Jack over there, and myself, and Barry Smith are the three of us from our church, working with the Pima County Sheriff Department. And there are many other areas that God has been doing wonderful things in our church. And I cannot name all of them because probably I'll forget somebody. It is not about us. It is not about this Calvary Chapel, but it is all about Jesus Christ. And he's doing mighty things in this small church, only 2 years old. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. We are stunned by your loving kindness in Christ Jesus. You are willing to use people like us, not because of what we can do, not because of what we know, because of your loving grace, because of your mercy, because of your grace, because of your love. Holy Father, we are available to you. We have nothing to offer except ourselves as a living sacrifice, knowing that you will use us to bring glory to yourself. Sanctify us and let us be obedient to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives in the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the perishable crown, but for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beat the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to the subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself shouldn't become disqualified. In track competition, I don't know how many of you guys was into the track when you were in high school, college, or wherever. I was not. I didn't want to run, so I tried to dodge the PE class as much as I could. But one thing I know is that each track course has own lane. Each runner has to stay in their lane unless it's like a marathon or long distance. We, all of us, has to stay in our own lane. My life does not belong to you. My life belongs to me and to God. Troy Moore's life belongs to himself and to God. I'm not supposed to tell him what to do with his life. His life is not responsible to me. And the same goes for you, all of you. You run your life according to God's way. A lot of times we're trying to compete with one another. We're trying to outrun another Christian. That's not what God is telling us to do. There is one competition, worldly influence, our fleshly desires, and our enemies. We must outrun those things. Some of us justify our slow pace with pointing at the other people. Yes, there are the people who are slow. Yes, there are people who are same time ahead of us. As I said, it's not about competing with one another. It's competing against our own fleshly desire and worldly influence. We are to run the race before us, and God did not call us to someone else's race. We are each called to run our own race. If we start to tell other people how to do, what to do, when to do, and we become legalist. And some of you might say, well, you do that every week. I happen to be a Bible teacher. I happen to be a pastor. My job is to give you the instruction so you can run your own race. I'm not telling you. If I dictate your life, then I become a legalist. Let's go back to the John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 21. Let me give you a quick description. There is an incident, the Apostle Peter, who just denied Jesus Christ three times, and after his resurrection, they all met at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus created a breakfast for the guys, and they're talking, and of course, Jesus reinstated him three times, and he said, "Follow me." And also he mentioned about the, how the life of the Peter is going to end. And Peter, instead of concentrating his own life, his own situation, he looked around and he looked at John, his competitor, in his mind. He said, "Lord, what about him?" I find it is rather interesting, verse 21. Let's read. Where is it, 21? There. Peter seeing him and said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And verse 20 said, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." It means it's none of your beeswax, boy. Exactly. It's none of your business. How I run in my own race, it's not your business. How you run in your race is none of my business. If I disqualify myself, I'm the one who's disqualifying myself. If you disqualify yourself, you're the one who's going to be sorry. I've seen way too many people disqualify themselves. Why? Because they start with walking away from God, neglecting this word. If you think you can handle the worldly influence without this word, you are duped and you are deceived. I've never seen anyone in my Christian life that who walk away from God without with the word in their heart. They walk away from God without the word because that's the reason why they walk away. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians 3:12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Underline, press on, please. "Then I may lay hold of that for which the Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Underline whole phrase, please. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goals for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There was a man who made a resolution for each year. Year 2002, he decided, "I'm not going to get upset with when Sam and Charlie make fun of my baldness." And year 2003, he decided, "Okay, I'm not going to get annoyed if Charlie and Sam start to make fun of my hairpiece." In year 2004, and he said, "I'm not going to lose my temper when Charlie and Sam laugh at me wearing girdle." In year 2005, he's going to make a resolution. He said, "I'm not going to talk to Sam and Charlie anymore." See how it changed the resolution. How often do you keep your resolution entire year? Any of you? I haven't met anyone yet. New Year's resolution is most likely bound to be broken. We don't need a New Year's resolution. We need a spiritual solution. Did you hear me? We don't need a New Year's resolution, but we need a spiritual solution. If we've been changed from inside our heart, rest of them will be changed automatically. If we're just trying to change the outside, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. On the way here, we stopped by at the Walmart to pick a few things. The first thing we saw is a Slim. What was this? Slim Fast on the right side. Eat all you want, just eat it, drink this, and then you'll be slim and trim. And you, I can guarantee you, the first advertisement you will receive this Sunday will be the health equipment. People make a resolution, but they are not really mean to do it. They don't press on. They don't stay in the course. They don't stay at it. Let's put it this way. Let's say we are running laps, 10 laps. What if I ran all 9 laps ahead of all of you? Am I the winner? Am I the winner? Why not? I ran ahead of you. Final lap means everything. The one who goes through the tape is the winner. If I win the 9 laps and didn't win the last lap, then I'm not the winner. Stay focused. Press on. Keep the pace. Christian life is not a 100-meter dash, ladies and gentlemen. It is long-distance running. As long as you have a life, you have to stay in the course, keep the pace, and press on. Third point, let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah is right behind Isaiah in the Old Testament, known as a book of a weeping prophet. Jeremiah 29:11. There would be 12, page 1276. That helps you, right? 29:11. This is the one verse I do highly recommend you to memorize. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say the Lord, the thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We never know what's going to come out to next year. How many of you guys thought when? How many of you guys were in the Sunday morning service? How many were you not in the Sunday morning service? And how many of you didn't raise your hand? Okay. Remember when I started opening Sunday morning service, what did I talk about? Remember? Huh? What did I talk about? When I opened, nobody remembered. Earthquake. Remember Messina, Sicily? They challenged God, if you are real, show yourself to us with earthquake by sending earthquake. And there was 7.5 Richter scale. And 84,000 people got killed in 1904. While I was talking, I did not know earthquake happened in the other side of the world. Did you know that? The very moment I was talking about the earthquake, the other side, Richter scale 9, and 144,000 people, and the death toll is still climbing. We don't know what's going to happen. This year, year 2005, might be the year of the rapture. Won't that be cool? Flying high. That's the true meaning of flying high. Forget about the earth. We never know what's going to happen. Nothing is guaranteed. But one thing we do know. God is faithful. God is merciful. His mercy renews every day, every morning. There is a wonderful woman named Corrie Ten Boom. She said this, "Never be afraid to trust unknown future to unknown God." I'll repeat it one more time. Never be afraid to trust unknown future to unknown God. God is in control in our future. And He is willing to bless us if we obey Him, stay in the course, press on, and keep our pace. However, He will not bless those who disobey Him. So, if you are playing game with it, obeying Him, not obeying Him, think again. I hope the year 2004 was a spiritually growing year. I hope you are closer than ever before. Let's make a 3 applications so far. God has not called us to run someone else's race. We are called to run. We are each called to run our own race. It's your thing. You have to run your own. Second application, if we want to win, a race of the Christian life, then we need to learn to pace ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can do the right thing in Christian life without the Holy Spirit's help. Third application. Our unknown future can rest in the hands of all-knowing God. Trust His sovereignty. Trust His omniscient capability. God is good. Let's expect nothing but the best of the year, best of our lives in the year 2005, because God is with us as long as we obey Him. Okay, let's stand up and pray.